necessary. I could give a word, but I don't always feel released to do that. But the Lord spoke very strongly to me this morning. He said, I love all of my creation. He said, I'm getting ready to send waves of my love and anointing to the people that you don't even know. He says, I'm getting ready to lavish them with my compassion and send my mercy and grace to them so that they will understand who I am. But from you, church, this is what I heard, and this is what kind of set me back. He said, but from you, church, I'm requiring a higher standard. You've heard my word. You've been in church for many years, and now it's time for you to start obeying my word. And I believe that's so true tonight, that God is calling us back to the time when we felt his presence really strong and we felt like anything was possible. Remember that time in your life when you prayed and the answer was right there? It didn't seem like there was a trial or a waiting period. But I believe that God is testing the church today to see if we're ready to obey him. And the only way that we're going to be able to really obey him and walk in his ways, I believe, is coming back, as Pastor's been teaching us for the last couple of weeks, coming back to the way that the first church was. Is this called the first church of the open Bible, right? The first church, back in Acts chapter 2, where they were in unity. So I've entitled the message, Finding Unity. And I believe that this is where God is calling us, and that, Pastor, the Lord gave me this message before you started talking about it this year. And so I know that it's from the Lord, that he was impressing on my heart that we as a church, universal throughout Cedar Rapids and throughout Iowa, throughout the nations of the world, we have to come back as a church into unity if we want to see the power of God and see the move of God, not only in our personal lives or in our families, but in the nation that we live in. So I believe the Lord is calling the church to awaken up again, to hear, be able to hear his voice and to be able to follow what he speaks to us. So first place I want to go is Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to do a little teaching and preaching and maybe exercising the gifts tonight. But this is what I feel like the Lord is calling me to do tonight, is to do a little teaching on unity and a little preaching about unity, and then maybe allowing me to exercise some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your midst. So we go to Ephesians chapter 4, and just to start out, we want to read 11 to 13. We'll go back to some of the other verses in a little while. It's out of the New King James. And he himself, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 11, and he himself, who, Jesus, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and out of the knowledge of the Son of God to be a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're going to stop there for a few moments. New Living says, manifesting his spiritual and completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity. So that what? So that we can grow, that we can be strong. And we'll go to that later. Let's just pray over the word. Father, we thank you for the word. Let it be strong. Strong in our lives tonight. Speak to us very strongly, Lord, that we might hear with ears and see with our eyes. But not only that, that we will then leave this place walking in obedience to what you're teaching us in the name of Jesus. I believe when we talk about the church today, the church today is divided, it's lost, it's not holy, allowing sin in leadership. Are you hearing me tonight? We've dumbed down the gospel. There are empty chairs all over the place. They have beautiful buildings, but they're not full. There's no power, there's no love. And it's pretty well all self-motivated. But the first church, let's go to Acts 2 and read just for a moment. Pastor had been reading it to us, but I'd just like to reiterate on that, starting with verse 42, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Wow. They continued daily in one accord in the temple, praising God, speaking the Apostles' Creed. You know, unity doesn't happen overnight. I believe it's a work in process or making by decisions that are made by us and at the church. We have to act upon the whole Word of God and be an example of what the Word of God teaches us and walk in the principles that the truths that are taught to us. And we don't see that happening a lot. We hear a lot of the Word, but when we look at people's lives, we don't see that they're following what the Word of God says. And that's why the church today is powerless. I believe the church today is only a symbol of what God wants. We're not a powerful church. If we were, the things in the U.S. would be different. The things in many nations would be different. And I'm not blaming it on anyone, but I believe the Lord is calling the church back to unity. If we want this church, the First Church of the Open Bible, to grow and become strong, then we have to come together also as well. And Pastor knows that better probably than anyone else here. And he's working on bringing the church together. I believe this is the call of God for 2020, that we have a clear vision of what he's wanting to do, that he's wanting to make us a powerful church and a voice in Cedar Rapids. Are you hearing me? You're quiet tonight, but you can speak up. He wants us to be a voice in a lost world. He wants us to be the hope of those who have no hope. It doesn't happen overnight, but it's a process, that steps that we take. And Pastor heard the Word of God that said, it's time to connect. It's time to come back to where we felt like, you know, we had left God. Or maybe at a time when we felt God so strong. If we go back up a couple of verses, Ephesians 4 and verse 3, 4, and 5. Is endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all and in you all. Hallelujah. So we see something that we have to come together. How do we come together? A fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's what the first church, how it was started. That's how they were powerful. How does that happen? I believe when Peter preached that message and 3,000 people said, what shall we do now? He said, repent. They had crucified Jesus, and now he's saying Jesus was the Messiah. You don't know what you did. And he said, repent. And so tonight, if we want to come into unity, we have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, confessing and repenting our sins, baptized in water. The first church baptized in water, and then they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't know which came first. I think they were baptized in the Holy Spirit first. They were baptized in water later. They ate together. They fellowshiped together. How do we come together in unity? God said, I gave gifts to fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And if we hear what they say, and if we believe and act upon what they teach us, and if we study God's word and exercise that word that we study, I believe that we can come into unity even though we are different in many ways. Remember, we were away from God. We were heathen. We were unbelievers in bondage to sin. And I have a verse that shows that, Ephesians 2 and verse 12. In the beginning, we were, it says, without Christ. being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Strangers from the covenant of promise, no hope without God in this world. That's what we as the Gentiles were in the beginning. But God, through Jesus, opened the door for us to come in and to be a part of his promise and his plan. So we started out as sinners. We're still sinners. We never know God or his ways. Many of you maybe have never heard the Bible stories, never sat on mom's lap and she read the Bible stories to you, or you've never read God's word and understand God's word. So we would call that immaturity. So we're unstable, and here the Lord is speaking to us. He says, I've sent the fivefold ministry. So that verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 4, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You know, we're unstable. A lot of times we're unstable. Even though we know God's word, somebody comes along with a new idea, pastor, and just, you know, we're like, sometimes like dumb sheep. I used to watch sheep growing up as a boy. We had really tall grass in the ditch out beside the road, and father would say, take the sheep out there and let them eat in this tall grass. But every once in a while, one of the sheep would look across the road and think that the grass was greener on the other side. And if one went, they all went, unless you cut them off. But the word of God is saying, I want you to be strong tonight. He said, I'm teaching you something through the ministry of the gospel. So we can look at, now we look at the church, and so even here tonight, we're made up of all kinds of backgrounds, of people, of belief systems that we brought with us, how we were raised. We have addictions and habits. Some of us have been blessed with godly parents. Thank you, Lord. Grew up in a church full of believers. Thank you, Lord. Others, you come from non-godly background, and maybe you never even darkened the door of a church till somebody brought you here. We don't know. So now, God, you want us to do what? You want us to get together in unity? How is that even possible? How is that even possible? One step. First step. We have to have one spirit. Ephesians 4:4, what did it say? One body, one spirit. Not 5,000 churches. Cedar Rapids has about 5,000 churches, right, pastor? One body. We have to have the same spirit. Each of us have to have the same spirit. How do we get that spirit? We come to Christ. We confess our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone be in what? Christ, he is a what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. We stop dancing with the devil. We start dancing with the Lord, right? We have one spirit now, renewed spirit that we follow. Said, the body is one with many members and many functions. We are body believers. We have many different functions. We have to, and this is a hard one for many of us, is we have to lay our opinions aside if we're going to have unity in the church. We all have opinions, and we like to voice them very strongly. And some of you maybe come here just to voice your opinions. I don't know. But please, we have to stop voicing opinions and stand with the Word of God, the truth of God's Word, and let that be our guide. Yes, we're going to have different ideas. We're going to have different thoughts. We're going to have different maybe interpretation of the word. But if we get together in God's love, we still have unity. I used to like to say we can sit down at the table and we can eat steak together, even though pastor likes his hard, cooked hard, like black and I like mine rare, you know, it doesn't stop us from having fellowship. And it's kind of a crude example, but really, we lay down those things that don't matter. And we pick up those things that matter. And we start building on that. We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Hallelujah. You're quiet tonight, that's okay. Just let it soak. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has what? Many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And we say there's still no unity. We have to come into common ground. That's the only way there's going to be unity. I don't like the way she looks. I don't like the way she dresses. I don't like the way he looks. I don't like blah, blah, blah. And until we lay down those things, you know, it says here, one body with many different members of function. One Spirit, and this is the key to finding unity, is that we have the same Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. There's never going to be true unity if some of the people in the church are not born again. That's kind of a hard saying, but it's true. Because we have different spirits. We have to have the same Spirit. So if we're born again and really have been baptized in that one Spirit, there's unity possible. Amen? There's possible to have unity in the church. The Word of God says, Jews, Greeks, slave or free, it doesn't matter who you were, where you're from. If, as long as we've all been drinking of the same Holy Spirit, not drinking of the spirits, then we're all one body. Verse 27 of 1 Corinthians in the New Living, it says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. All of you together. All of you separate? No, all of you together, right? To realize that we are Christ's body, to realize through the body and through the death and resurrection of Jesus that God has established a body of believers should really make us shout, should really say, wow, it's exciting to be a part of a body of believers. Hallelujah, that Jesus died and rose again, gave his life for us so that we could have life. Well, what about that church down the street there? Are they a part of the body? Are they a part of the faith? Are they a part of the unity? Do they believe the Apostles' Creed? I can just throw a few things out. Do they obey the Word of God? Do they try to live holy lives to the best of their knowledge or ability? If you answer yes to that, then I believe that I could say they're part of the body of Christ. They're part of the body that God has raised up, and they're functioning according to what God has said. No unity? Not until we come together on common ground on things that we can believe. You know, if they're handling snakes, doing some things like that, I don't want to be a part of them. I'm sorry. If they're allowing sin to run rampant in the church, we don't want to be a part of that. And today, Pastor held up the word and he said, we believe it from cover to cover. And we want to practice what this word says. We are a full gospel church. Hallelujah. The church that my wife and I pastored was called Full Gospel Revival Center. The working body. Do you know that if everything in your body keeps working the way it was created and it's healthy, that you can live to be over 100 years old? Wow. How many want to be over 100 years old? Well, when one part of the body stops working correctly, it begins to destroy itself. When the body parts are working together correctly, you can live to be 100. If it starts coming against and attacking itself, it's going to be destroyed. So unity in the faith that the Lord is talking about here can only be obtained when the body functions correctly. The spiritual body of Christ functioning correctly will always be healthy. Hallelujah. And I believe that we have to realize the importance of the faith of God. Can you imagine a perfect church? Ooh, hallelujah. We're not quite there, Pastor. But can you imagine being in the perfect church? Eyes that see correctly, ears that hear correctly, hands and feet that function the way God has made it. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. When one member is honored, all the members honor with it, rejoice with it. And you say, I want to be a part of that church. Well, you are. But maybe you're not a healthy part. If we're a believer, we're a part of that perfect church. If you're a believer tonight, you're part of that perfect church. Where do you fit in? What's your function? Have you been doing your part? Are you the one who stopped functioning correctly? And so you're not healthy, and neither is the body. These are just things I'm throwing at you. Are you a healthy part of the body tonight? Are you doing what God has called you to do? So I have written down here, changing yourself. If you're not a good part of the body, what needs to change? If you're not a healthy part of the body, what needs to change in your life? The Word of God says when we come together to do communion, to celebrate and remember the Lord's body and the blood, we are supposed to examine ourselves, and we bring judgment on ourselves if we take the blood and the body with sin in our lives. And for this reason, the Word of God says, many are sick, weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Kind of a hard word. Oh, Pastor, it's okay, you know. I just want to be a part of communion. I want to take communion every time. But what did the Lord say? He's going to require greater responsibility from the church who's not obeying His word. I don't necessarily like to preach these messages. They're kind of strong and they're hard, Pastor, but God wants to bring the church together in unity. He wants you and I to get along and do what we've been called to do. But I believe when we realize that we have sinned, we realize we're not doing what God has called us to do, or we've made mistakes and done some things wrong, then we come to the Lord and we repent, be converted, change our ways. Because God said in Acts 3:19, if you repent, turn, that He will send the refreshing. The times of refreshing will come from His presence. I need a refreshing tonight. Hallelujah. So we draw close to God. Finding your place. Are you the head or the foot? Are you the ear, the hand, or the eye? Where do you fit in as a part of the body of Christ? Do you know? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 16 and 17, it says, if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I'll wait till you get it up there, 1 Corinthians 12, 16 and 17. Hallelujah. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? Where would be the smelling? If we jump all the way to verse 27, it says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. You are the body of Christ and members individually. You have a place, a part in the body of Christ. And when we go on to verse 28, it says, God has appointed places or gifted places in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of miracles, then gifts of healing, gifts of helps, I believe, gifts of administration, different kinds of tongues. And then he goes on in that last verse to desire the best gifts. Praise God. God has appointed these in the church. Leadership. He has appointed those who have special gifts. And that includes all of you. Gifts of what? Administration. Gifts of help. Gifts of healing. Workers of miracles. Teachers, pastors, apostles. God has put the body together so special that if it functions healthy, it will live forever. It'll live. How many year anniversary did we celebrate this church? 75 years? 78 this month. Wow. I believe this church can go on for over 100 years. And if we function, hallelujah, together and work together, I believe that we can be one of the most powerful churches here in this area. I believe that with all my heart. God is raising up an army, and you are a part of that army. We need prayer warriors. Pastor needs prayer warriors for him and his family. He needs intercessors that would stand with him and his family. There's an all-out war against their family. Are you hearing me? That's what the Lord showed me, Pastor. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, and he said, where the Spirit of the Lord, there's freedom. The attack is going to be sidetracked, and there's going to be a new freedom that comes into your life. And you're going to find part of that freedom on this trip. That's what the Lord is showing me. As you get away from the pressures of this place and just rest in the presence of God, that there's going to be a new freedom that God is going to bring. But his Spirit and his ministry and the Spirit of God's coming stronger on you than ever before. That's what the Lord showed me. But you fit in. Those who stand in the gap for others. We need people to stand in the gap for our families that are here in this church. We need people who will pray and stand in the gap for our nation, for the nations of the world. You fit in. Just kind of like a piece in a puzzle. You open a box and there's all these pieces and you say, how do they all fit in? But if you keep working with them, you finally end up with a puzzle and every piece has a place. You are the body of Christ. You fit in. Hallelujah. But you need to find your place. Unity is only possible as we function together as a body, each part doing what God has gifted us to do. So we go back to Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. This is kind of the conclusion. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body fitly, whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Hallelujah. As each part does its own special work, the New Living says, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Can the church be united? Yes. Can the church grow? Yes. Can the church be powerful? Yes. Or we have to stop nitpicking and stop passing our opinions around like it was the truth of God's word. You can have your opinion, just keep it to yourself, somebody said. Are you a healthy part of the church? Are you the one that's helping the other parts grow? Do you fit in? If not, what needs to change? What needs to change? Before I move around and the Lord allows me to exercise gifts, we want to pray right where you're at. I want you to search your heart tonight. Pastor challenges us to search our hearts all the time. There's something in there that's stopping you from bringing unity, even in your home. Maybe it's in your life, personal life to start with. If you don't have unity in your spirit, in your personal life, how can you come into the church and bring unity in the church? It's really a question the Lord is asking us tonight. there's shouting going on and fighting and warring going on in your home, how can you come to the church and bring unity in the church? Lord, we thank you for the word. It challenges us. You encourage us to search our hearts. Lord, tonight we just open up our life to you. We say whatever's in there that's not right, whatever is unhealthy in the natural and spiritual, we ask that you remove it from our lives, Lord. If there's cancer in our life, Lord, remove it. If there's health problems in our life, remove it. We ask for healing, Lord, in areas where we've been hurt, hurt by other people, hurt by the past, hurt by words that are spoken. Lord, we repent from being maybe someone who's spoken those words. We ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to flood our spirit, Lord, tonight. You are welcome in this house. You are welcome in this body, Holy Spirit. You are welcome in this mind to bring a transformation, to bring healing, to bring restoration, Lord. Because we want to be the healthy part. We want to be the part that helps the other parts grow, Lord. We want to be the healthy part that makes us a strong body. We want to be the part you've created us to be. So, Father, Lord, we just ask you, forgive us of our sins. Help us to see what those were, what they are, and stop doing them. Not just repent, but stop doing them, Lord. If we have bad habits, help us to stop doing those bad habits. If we have a problem running people down and talking about other people, we ask, Lord, that you will speak to us strongly and remind us that we are no better than anyone else, that we have our own faults and our own problems. So, Lord, help us to look deep inside and search our hearts so that we won't be weak and sick, but that we will be a strong church. Bless this church, Lord. Bless this church, Father. Open up the new avenues, the new ways that you have already spoken about, even this morning, Lord, that you have direction for us to go. And this season that we're in, Lord, that you will help us to see what you want to do. But also, Lord, prophecy that's been spoken over this church, that we will be a part of it becoming completed, that we'll be a part of it coming to pass, Lord, that whatever you've called us to do, Lord, that we will do it with faithfulness and obedience, that we will speak what you tell us to speak. So bring your blessing on us, Lord. Help us be healthy in this body as we work together to be one in the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. God is moving in ways, supernatural ways tonight. I don't know if you feel the power or not, but God is doing something new, sister, in your life. The Lord's showing me that he's put a hunger in you. That's why you're here tonight, that you're so hungry for a move of God in your life, that he's going to just bring. Ooh, I just saw a wall. The enemy's tried to build a wall and hide you in that wall. I saw a big sledgehammer come and break that wall down. He says, I'm bringing freedom into your life, daughter, so that you can excel in the things and the talents that he's put into your life. Wow, I'm excited about what the Lord showed me. He says, you have a powerful word. You have a powerful word that's been shut up. And the Lord is cutting you loose tonight. Hallelujah. That you might speak the truth. Hallelujah. Bless your Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. God is a wonderful God. He loves us. He loves us. This brother here, he's a servant of God. He's a servant of the Most High. And the Lord is saying, I'm going to put strength in words that will come out of you. And usually you're pretty bashful and timid and don't speak real strong. Does that describe you a little bit? Okay. But God is changing that. That you're going to rise up with knowing, and you're going to say, this is it. This is it. And you're going to draw the line in the sand. And God is, you've wanted that anyway. And God is going to give you that tonight. He's releasing that in your spirit. In the name of Jesus, Father, just release it now. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God so strong. I don't know if you feel it all the way back here or not, but there's been a transformation taking place in the last 6 months, maybe 2 months, but the last 6 months. Hallelujah. God is doing something. You know why? Because he's called you to be a leader in these last days. I don't know if you understand the call of God on your life, but he's showing me as you embrace the word of God and begin to exercise that word in the way that you know how, there's going to be a continued transformation in your life. Things you thought were lost are coming back. Things you don't want are going to stay away. But God is raising you up as a leader in this hour, and you will do things in the next year that you thought you would never do because the power of God is being released upon your life. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Praise God. I see a flood coming, a good flood. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just rejoicing tonight because that flood is moving things out of the way. Ooh. All those things that were impossible to move in the natural, the Holy Spirit is bringing a flood of his anointing, and it's going to sweep through. Oh, man, I see barriers that people have built. I see barriers that have been built. And in the natural, we say those barriers can never be removed, but the Holy Spirit is saying, in one sweep, those barriers are crashed down. There will be a new freedom that comes. Hallelujah. God's already working before you guys even understand it. I think that song said it best. He's working. All the time he's working. God's doing something because of your obedience and your faithfulness. The Lord says, I'll make a new way where there is nothing. Hallelujah. Bless him, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. I don't know what time it is. Oh, we got lots of time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I go by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There's supposed to be a word over here, and I'm searching for it, okay? But I may come back. Because I know that God has something for you guys. Something to help change the situation you're in. Believe that? You say, what situation? I don't know what situation you're in, but he does. So he's going to start breaking down things. I just had a vision of a filing cabinet, and it's like it's full of all the things that the enemy has gathered about your life in the past. The past, not today, the past. But I see a fire. In the spirit, I see a fire, and all those things are being burned. There's no more record of them. They've been wiped away. Lord said, the enemy has been using that against you to hold you back from walking in the way that he's called you to walk. You have a beautiful wife here. Together, the Lord says, you will be a powerhouse, a powerful house in the days to come. You've been faithful, been coming. You've been soaking it up. But you're supposed to also speak it out. Hallelujah. But the enemy is holding your past, been holding you captive with your past. Even though you've asked God to forgive you, you've walked in as much of obedience as you can, that door has been open. And tonight, the Lord is saying, I'm closing that door to that voice. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? That's possible, right? Through the power of the blood of Jesus, forgiveness of his. Hallelujah. God's doing the work right now, transformation work. Ooh. You're set free, brother. Hallelujah. You're set free, sister. A new day. The glory of God to shine through you. Hallelujah. So we just ask the Lord to bless you guys. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I go over here. Is it dangerous on this side, is it? Hallelujah. Whew. you and your husband have been called to do warfare, even in a new area. The Lord's showing me a new, brand new path. And you've been down so many paths, and you've done well. But there's a new path that the Lord is going to open up for you to do warfare in, I can't even speak. And it's going to be a mighty work. It's going to destroy a temple that the enemy has been trying to build here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I see that very strongly. You've been trying to build a temple, and you're going to destroy that in the power of the Holy Spirit. My brother, as you and your wife walk together in unity, there's something new going to take place. You think there hasn't been an all-out attack? There has been an all-out attack to try to stop you from this. But the Lord says He's going to raise a standard, even as the Word says, raise a standard against the enemy. That as you start on this path, and as you start walking, that you're going to have total freedom. There'll be total freedom. And the enemy will come down. Hallelujah. So there's a new, I see a whole group of people. I don't know who they are, but I see a whole group of people that are coming. They will be rescued because of your obedience through the intercession. A whole group of people. I don't know how that works, but the Lord does. Hallelujah. Bless them, Lord. Hallelujah. Connie and Steve, and it's Connie's birthday today. We should sing happy birthday to her, but she didn't want everybody to know it, did you? Hallelujah. But Connie and Steve, there's an awakening of it. A dormant, it's like there's been a dormant gift that you have, Connie, that the Lord is awakening. And since your mother passed, it's beginning to come arise. And even though it's very sorrowful that your mother passed, the Lord says, now I'm going to raise you up. You're not going to be your mother, but you're going to have a strong word for people. And they will hear. The Lord says, I'm going to open up deaf ears from the words that you speak. And so, God's just going to release you. And that gift that's kind of, you know you have it, but it's kind of been suppressed a little bit. The Lord's going to awaken that. And you're going to know that you know that you know. And you're going to speak it out. So we ask for protection, because you're going to be entering into the enemy's camp. So we're asking the Lord to build a hedge of protection around Connie and Steve as they take these steps right now. Watch over them, Lord. Bless them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We haven't talked about missions. We haven't talked about going to the nations. But we're gearing up to go back to the Philippines in March. There's such a freedom there to speak the Word of God. And it's exciting to see people's lives change. They will walk for a day to get to a service if they know something special is going on. They'll ride a walk, ride a jeepney, ride a bus. She knows. Whatever it takes to get to that service. And they don't want a half an hour message. They want a message that lasts all night. Hallelujah. This year in our itinerary, we have the Philippines, Western Europe, Africa in August, back to Argentina in November, December, and we might slip in time to go to Mexico during that time somewhere. But people all over the world are hungry for the gospel. We speak the Word of God so they can come into unity with the Holy Spirit. Unity for the body. That is the word that God is speaking. Unity for the body. I got to go back here and then I'll probably be finished. Hallelujah. The Lord just spoke to me about you. He says, you have put your whole heart out there. You've put your heart out there and you've desired to see God move in all of your things, all your situations. He said, he just told me to tell you that he's going to start moving in ways that are going to almost surprise you. Because you have asked him, you've made decisions that were good decisions. He said, I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do that. So he's going to honor your words. He's going to honor your faith tonight. So get excited about God doing something new in your life. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just excited because I see it in the Spirit. You're rejoicing, and I think you can dance. I think I see you dancing in the Spirit. Maybe something you haven't done for a while, but the Lord's going to release you. He's going to release you, set you free. Oh, hallelujah. Bless your Lord. Hallelujah. And for Bobby here, it's just one day after another. But I see you hanging upside down. I've never seen that. But the Lord says, I'm putting you that way so the blood flows all the way to the top. Ooh, shada moko yanda. Hallelujah. Because the power is in the blood, brother. And the mind is going to be strong. He said, I'm going to renew this mind so that you can speak my word with new and fresh authority. I'm going to renew this mind so that the hands you have are helping hands in a situation where nobody else would move. I'll show you ahead of time, says the Lord, so you can prepare yourself. Bless him, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You guys may look at my wife and I and say, boy, they have a perfect life, perfect family, but that's not true. About 2 years ago, we came home from a mission trip and our family attacked us, our children attacked us. Right now we have one son that's suing the other son, or took him to court, not suing, but took him to court. We have a daughter-in-law who divorced her husband, her adopted son, left him high and dry with five children. We have a son who lives in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, who hasn't spoken to us for almost a year and a half now. Won't answer our texts, won't communicate with us. Do we have a perfect life? We thought we had unity. We had unity in our home. We had unity in our family. We never, ever, you could have never told us that we were going to have these problems. And I believe the enemy tried to attack us so we'd stop going to the nations and stop speaking the truth of God's word, but that didn't work. We still go, and we still believe that God's going to restore our family. We need a miracle, so we want you to pray for us. February 13th is the trial date, supposed to be finalized. We need to cover us. And I believe that after that trial is over, that we can start rebuilding our family. But we covet your prayers, because they grew up in a full gospel church. All of our children grew up, were part of the service, were part of the ministry, were part of the worship, spoke in unknown tongues, heavenly language, prophesied. We need your prayers. But God's working miracles. We're moving forward. We're moving forward. So thank you for your love and your prayers, Pastor Rico.
Pastor, and I know lots of you have some family things going on, specifics I know about, so let's be real. You ready? Thank you for being honest and real. Thank you for your word. Come on now. feel free to preach that on Sunday morning anytime you want. Hallelujah. But that's real. We got family things going on. Rick, sorry, I didn't ask your permission, but I know you do. And I know you're headed out. We need to pray for each other right now. Okay? We have a couple minutes before we're supposed to go. If you have a family issue going on right now, that the enemy is trying to divide your family, or there's a lost person in your family, or there's some anger, frustrations, there's some pain, I want you to stand to your feet, please, right now. You come to me. Come here, honey. Come here. Okay. Almost absolutely everybody's standing. Do you see this? This is real. If there's somebody next to you that's standing, will you go find them and hold their hand? The Bible says that we pray for one another, and that's how we're healed. Okay? You guys want to hold hands right here? Yeah, in unity. Okay. And if you don't have family things going on right now, if you could just go ahead and just, yeah, put your hand upon somebody that is. We're going to pray that the enemy will be defeated right now, and we're going to see the defeat, and we're going to pray that God is going to do something miraculous. Okay? I want to pray that right now. God of heaven, God of angel armies, intimate God that loves us, the God that sent your Son to die for us, and the God that gave us your word, we come to you now. Lord, it says in your word that first and foremost, we come to you with praise and thanksgiving. So first, I want to give you praise. You are amazing, and you love us, and here we are standing. And many of people in here today feel defeated. But you're the God of victory. And I thank you, and I want to give you praise and honor right now. God, we believe in you, and we stand in your word. We stand upon your word. We have faith to believe your word is true. And so right now, by the power and by the blood of Jesus, we speak life to those family situations right now. Enemy, you are cut off. You're broken. You're dead, and you will assume your position on your knees before Jesus, because every tongue will confess, and every knee will bow. And we just thank you right now, God. We call forth home. We call forth the lost, the lost sons and daughters, the broken, the hurting, the ones that have believed the lies of the enemy and the world, and we call forth them home. Just like your word says that the wayward son comes back, and if there's anything, God, that we can do other than pray, let us do it. Humble us in any which way that we can be humbled, God. Even apologize for things that might not be our fault, but God, for the victory and for the unity of our families, right now we call forth that right now. Lord, we pray for a new fresh anointing and a fresh love to fall upon our families and our situations. God, that you would break the bondage, break the yoke of the enemy, for your burden is light and your yoke is easy. I pray that right now, every person in here right now that is struggling with anger, frustration, hurt, and brokenness in their families, and maybe strife, right now we lay it upon your hands and your shoulders. God, we cannot do it anymore. We can't. God, you have your way right now. Humble us. Settle our hearts. Give us love and peace, God. And if we must, let us break down and fall at your feet so you can build us again. Crumble anything that is of the world in our lives right now. I pray forth any spouses, any children, any moms, dads, cousins, uncles, aunts, whatever. Every single person right now, family members, people that we are calling forth and we're standing in the gap for, or maybe that we're praying for, God, right now, if there's anything that's in us that we can do, may you help us right now. Give us a humble and right attitude. Lord, let us see with your eyes of compassion. God, put us in their shoes and let us love like you would love. God, I'm reminded that your word says if they slap us on one cheek, you turn the other. If they want something of you, you give them your cloak too. If they want you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. If they need something from you, you give it all. God, may you give us that kind of heart that says, even if they take everything, I will still love them. I will still stand in the gap. I will show them what real love looks like, not what this world expects us to be. God, and this is the last thing, Lord. We can't do it without you. If you don't show up, if you don't step in, God, we're defeated. But we believe your word is true and that you're our defender, that you fight for us, and that it says in your word you go before us in every battle. And God, that we stand in victory, not from victory, but we are in victory right now, God. And I pray that we will be able to see that come before our eyes. May it be before us even this very week. By next Sunday night, God, I pray that there's a breakthrough in each and every person that prayed through these situations tonight. Because it's not in our strength, it's in yours. It's not by our blood, but it's by your blood. And right now, Holy Spirit, have your way. We invite you into that situation. Break the bondage of the enemy right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, we love you. We're thankful for you. If you need prayer, Pastor John and Shirley would be glad to pray for you. If you want to pray for one another, that'd be even better. We would love that. Not that their prayers aren't important, but we're supposed to pray for everybody. We love you so much. We hope to see you Wednesday. Walk safe. It's icy. Just ask Josh. In Jesus' name, amen.